Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Vav, and we're learning today Lilu Nishmas Eliyahu Platt's father-in-law, Arthur Jacobs, Asher ben Yitzhak Kalevi. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah. So let's remind ourselves what we were learning in yesterday's share. We had brought down the Mishnah where we had said that the Tanakama, the Chachamim, hold that there were two stands inside the Heichal whereby the Kohen Gadol, when he finished with the applications of the blood that were lefnai v'lefnim, with the par of the Kohen Gadol, so then he put down, according to the Tanakhama, the blood of the par on a stand, and then he took the blood of the sawyer from the stand, a second stand. So there were two stands according to the Tanakhama. According to Yehuda, it was one stand, so he put down the blood of the par when he did the blood of the sawyer l'Hashem. Then when he came back and had to switch the order, he had to take off the blood of the pyre from the one stand and put down the blood of the sar from his hand onto the stand. So again, why were there two stands according to the Chachamim? Because you had two containers, klisharis, filled with the blood, one of the pyre, one of the sar. Very simple. Why did Rav Yehuda say there's only one? So we had brought down the shita from Rav Yosef, who said that the reason why there was only one stand was because you'd have to label them, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from labeling, because there could be a mistake that would be made. And therefore, there was only one stand, so this way there could be no mistake made. We then brought down, however, a proof to show that that wasn't true by bringing down the Mishnah from Shkalim, which had 13 shofros, tzedakah boxes, collection bins for various korbanos or donations, and there were two specifically that were for bird offerings. One, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was for bird offerings that were from the Gozley Ola, the type of birds that were from the Ben Yona species of birds that were kosher for bird offerings. And then the other one was Kenan, that was for the Tor family, the Tor species of birds. Now, these were clearly labeled, so the people who were obligated to bring a Tor double Ola donation would know to put the money in that box, and the people that were giving the two Olas from the Ben Yona family would know to put it in that box. And therefore, clearly, we proved that Rabbi Yehuda does allow there to be writing down to demonstrate that there would be different boxes, and therefore he wasn't concerned about ksiva. He allowed ksiva as a valid way to distinguish between the different boxes. So therefore, clearly, Rabbi Yehuda does allow ksiva, so the answer from Rabbi Yosef was incorrect. So a couple of things needed to be cleared up. So then, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda have a third shofar for the combination of the Ola and Chatas, obligatory pair of birds that a person had to bring, let's say if they were Yoledes or they were Zav or Zava? So the reason for that, we said, was that it doesn't hold from Breira, because if, in fact, the owner of the Ola and Chatas contribution had passed away, Vaday passed away, so then we have to be concerned that that money will be intermixed. The owner of a Chatas who dies, that money has to go to the Yamamelech. So here, the money would be mixed in with all the other funds, and it would ruin everything. So the Gemara had suggested, we'll just take out the four Zuz, that's the cost of the Chatas bird, and just throw that in the Yamamelech through a Tanai and through Breira, say that if a person were to pass away, they would basically say the money that I'm giving should be considered the four zuz that you take out, and the other monies that really were my money should go for somebody else's carbon. And through this tanai, and then the principle of retroactive determination called breira, so then that should work. So the Gemara had said, Rav Yehuda less lay breira, and that's really where we left off yesterday, towards the bottom of Nun Hei Amud Beis. Four lines from the bottom, and that's where we had discussed, how do we know that Rav Yehuda doesn't hold from the principle of Breira? And we left off with the words, Minolon. So we start now three lines from the bottom, Nun Hei Amud Beis, with this introduction. Hopefully it's clear where we are. Ilema, if you want to tell me that Rav Yehuda doesn't hold from Breira, and that's why he didn't allow you to have a third shofar for birds that would include people that needed to give an Ola and the Chatas, because there's no way if that person died that you could have all the money in that shofar be able to be used, so because he doesn't apply the principle of Breira. So let's say he doesn't hold from Breira from the following famous Braisa. Ilema meha d'tnan. Now here again we use the terminology d'tnan, because there actually is a Mishnah in Demai that is very similar to this. But Tosos says that the real girsa over here should be d'tanya, because this really is a Braisa. And in any event, whether it's a Mishnah or Braisa, we have this in many, many places. You look in the Mesoros HaShas and Oz Hei, you can see all the places where this discussion has been brought down in the different Gemaras, and it's a famous discussion. And it says Halokeach Yain Mibein Hakusim, and we have the Girsa Erev Shabbos in Chashecha. In many of the other places, it doesn't have that Girsa, and Rashi and Tosfos added in, so they probably didn't have this Girsa as well. But it is correct. So if a person is purchasing wine from the Kusim, of course, the people that said Cheruv had transferred from their home of Kuta to the northern kingdom of Eretz Yisrael, after he was Nigola, the 10 tribes, the northern tribes of Malchus Yisrael. So this was his modus operandi that we discussed previously in the Shiur, that he went and displaced the people so they wouldn't be so interested in rebelling. Even if they won, they're still not in their hometown. So these Kusim came to Eretz Yisrael, and there's a machlokus when they were in Nisgayer. They eventually were in Nisgayer, because they were afraid of the lions that attacked them. They said, oh, the god of this land is upset with us, and therefore they were Gere Arroyos with an olive, or did they have a true conversion? So therefore their status as to whether they were true Jews or not was always in limbo. And in addition, there was certainly a suspicion that the Kusim did not, in fact, take off Trumas and Maestros. So now we're dealing with a person who has no other utensils that he can pour out his Trumas and Maestros in, and he's taking wine from this Kusi on Erev Shabbos, and he has no way to be mafrish the wine that he take from this Kusi, which he's obligated to take off Trumas and Maestros from, and to put into separate containers. So what should he do? Halokeach Yai Mibein HaKusim, and it's Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha, so there's no alternative. He has to do this before Shabbos, and he has no utensils that he can go and put the wine into to take out the Truma, the Maestros, etc. So he says as follows. The Tanakam, which is Ramei, says, Omeid V'Omer. He stands up and he says, Shnei Lugin Shani Osid LaHafrish, I'm going to drink from this wine all Shabbos. There's going to be wine left over, however, and I'm mafrish now, and the two lugin, let's say there's 100 lug to start with, so he takes off a beinuni, he takes off 2%, so that would be 2 of the 100. He takes them off now, and he says, which two are they? He has no container to pour them into. He says, at the end, the two that will be left, I'm designating now as the truma on the rest of the container, and in this way, I'm mafrish truma. Shnei lugim shani osid lahafrish harehin truma. Those that I would physically separate at the end, I'm designating now as truma. We turn to the Nunvav Amnalef, which is filled with Tosis, but very little Gemara, and he tells us next that the person says, the asara, the 10, the 1/10 that I'm designating to be my serishon. Now, technically, Tosis points out that it's 1/10 of 98, because the two that he took off for Truma, he doesn't take off my submission from. So it really is 9.8 that we're dealing with over here. So the Asara is just being rounded off. The 9.8, which is rounded off to 10, that I'm designating to be my submission. And again, I can't take it out right now. So eventually what's left over, that 9.8 will be the my submission. And then I have to take off another 10% of the remainder, so it's not of the original 100, but it's really of the 2 that were taken off plus the 9.8 that are taken off, so it's 11.8 that is missing, so 11.8 from 100 leaves us with 88.2. That's really what's left, and we round that off and we call that 9. It really is, again, a tenth of 88.2 would be 8.82. But again, we'll round that off to 9. That's what the Gemara does. So Tisha, the next 9 that he separates, which he can't physically separate, but he says, those that I'm designating now at the end will be the Meister Sheni. But that, he is able to be Poder right now. Umechal, he has a coin in his pocket, and he's Mechal, the Meister Sheni. He redeems the Meister Sheni onto this coin. That's he can do. So now, the 8.82, the roughly 9 that are the Maaseh Sheni are no longer in the container as Maaseh Sheni. They've been redeemed onto this coin that he has in his pocket. And now he's taken off his Truma Gedola, he's taken off his Maaseh Rishon, he's taken off his Maaseh Sheni, and now Vishos Simiyad Divi Reb Meir. Reb Meir says now he can go drink this on Shabbos because he was mafrish his Trumas and Maaseh that he's obligated to do when he buys wine from a Kusi, and therefore he is able to drink on Shabbos almost all of the wine. He has to leave behind the 2 that are Truma Gedola. He has to leave behind the 9.8 that are Maaseh Rishon. And the rest is perfectly drinkable right now because the Maaseh Sheni he redeemed, and the rest is now regular Chulin. That is the opinion of Rav Meir. We're ready now turning to Nun Vav Amud Beis. However, the Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, all disagree with Rav Meir. And they say, no, Ostrin. Sorry, buddy, you can't drink this wine until you physically separate the Trumas and Maestros, and it is not acceptable to do what Rav Meir said. Therefore, you clearly see that these three Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, hold Alma Ein Breira. They don't allow you to say retroactively this two that is left was the Truma Gedola, this 9.8 that is left was the Meiser Rishon. They don't allow that. So, this is our Rabbi Yehuda. Our Tana Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds Ein Breira. This is the source to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds Lesle Breira. Gemara says, not necessarily so. Mimai, who says that this is the crux of the machloka between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, and Rav Shimon? In fact, Mimai, Dilma, maybe what they're arguing about is something totally different. Shiny Hossam, the reason why that Rav Yehuda, as well as Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, all say that it's not acceptable to do that, is Kidikitani Taima, as it says over there, the reasoning. Armulo, the Rav Meir, they said to Rav Meir, Iyatamode, Shemo Yiboka Hanod, Venimsa Shose Tavolim Mafreya, aren't you concerned that, okay, during Shabbos, he's drinking, and then he drops the bottle, and the whole thing breaks. Now where are your Trumas and Maisers? So therefore, you have to be concerned that he might come to drop the bottle. And as a result of him dropping the bottle, that's why this doesn't work, for this concern that he might drop the bottle. But not because of a concern of Breira. It has nothing to do with Breira. In fact, we all hold Islay Breira. Rabbi Yehuda holds the fact that there is a concept of Breira, as do Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. And the only reason they don't allow it to be applied over here is because they're concerned that the bottle will break. No, by the way, Rav Meir, what does he do with that? Rav Meir responded to them and he said, look, Kishibaka, if that happens, then we'll worry about it then. But right now, we don't have to be concerned about it. Islay Breira, we all hold Breira, and therefore, it's perfectly acceptable to do what Rav Meir says I suggested doing, which is to be mafreshit in theory, even though it's not physically separated, and only after Shabbos, when you can go and pour it off into another container, will you go and do so. So this isn't the source that Rav Yehuda doesn't hold from Breira. So we have to try again. So the Gemara says, Elo miditoni Ayo. Now Ayo is the name of a Talmud Chacham, Rashi tells us. And this Talmud Chacham, this Tana Ayo, said in the following Braisa, the following din. Now this is in regards to Erev Tchumim. Remember back from our learning, Erevin and many other places, a person is allowed to change his focal point on Shabbos and gain 2,000 amos, up to 2,000 amos in one direction, albeit he'll lose that 2,000 amos in another direction. So if a person says, listen, I want to go to this town that's next to us, it's 4,000 amos away, I can't reach it on Shabbos because the maximal distance you can move is 2,000 amos outside the city, and therefore, I need to change my focal point to 2,000 amos from here, and then that will be my center point, and I can go 2,000 amos from that central point in all directions, and that will get me into the next town. And once I'm in the next town, I have that entire town is Dalet Amos. That's a very quick, rough reminder of what the Din of Tchumim is. So, Ayo tells us, the Tani Ayo, he learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, or Rabbi Yehuda, he holds, Ein odam masne al shnei dvarim ki echad. A person is not allowed to do and set up two focal points and say as follows. If the Talmud Chacham that I want to go to a shir, again, you're really not supposed to do an Erev Tchumim for no good reason. It really should only be done for, let's say, going to a shir or doing a mitzvah or for some other purpose that is a positive, good purpose. So the person says, listen, I'm in this town over here. I don't know if the Talmud Chacham that I'm going to want to hear or the Shabbos Shir is going to be in town A to my right, which is 4,000 am away, or town B to my left, which is 4,000 am away. So I'll find out Shabbos morning only which one of the Shirim I want to go to. And therefore, I'm going to set up an Erev in both places with the following tonight. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein adam masne al shnei dvarim ki echad. You're not allowed to do this and say, well, if the shir that I want to go to is in town A, so this is my Erev Tchumim. If the shir that I want to go to is in town B, then this is my Erev Tchumim. And I'll wait till they announce the shirim on Shabbos morning or whenever I find out that information, and then I'll make the decision retroactively as to which one of my two Tchumim was the real Tchum. So Ayah tells us that Rabbi Yehuda said that's not allowed. However, Rabbi Yehuda did say, Elo im bo chacham lemizrach, eruvah lemizrach. Lamariv, eruvah lamariv. But, he says, the following scenario is acceptable according to Rabbi Yehuda. If the Talmud Chacham comes to the town on the right, so then I want my Erev to be the one that was on the right. And if the Talmud Chacham comes to the second town that was on my left, I want that to be my Erev to Chumim. Now, Abba Lakan Lakan Lo. But in the first scenario where he sets up both of them and he says, I'll see on Shabbos morning which one I want to go to, that's not allowed. So Gemara asks the obvious this question. Vavinam ba, maishno lakan lakan de lo, the ain breira. So you're telling me the first situation is not acceptable because you have two Erev Tchumim and you're only going to decide on Shabbos morning which one you want. And that's not allowed because that's a Breira situation. You're retroactively determining what you wanted to take effect at the Bein HaShmoshes of Friday afternoon. And that's not allowed to be done. Oh, clearly you see that Rav Yehuda doesn't hold Breira. He says you have to designate Bein HaShmoshes which one you want. More says, but if that's true, so why in the second case, in the first case that we said when he put out the two Erev Tuchumims because he didn't know which shir he wanted to go to, we said that's not allowed, the Ein Breira. So how come in the second case, where he said, I don't know which town the Talmud Chacham is coming to, if he comes to the town to my right, to the east, then I want this to be my Erev Tuchumim. If he comes to the town to my left, to the west, I want that to be my Erev Tuchumim. How come that when he said it works? L'mizruch l'marav, nami Ein Breira. The same principle should apply. So if he holds Ein Breira, why does the second case work and the first case does not work? So Rav Yochanan answered, Rav Yochanan, you know what it was? The difference was in the second case, the Talmud Chacham had already arrived Friday afternoon, before the Bein HaShmoshes period of time. And the only problem is that he did not know which town he was coming to. So the person sets up his Erev Tchumim on Erev Shabbos to take effect in the Bein HaShmoshes period of time. He says, I don't know which town the Talmud Chacham is in, but the Talmud Chacham is already in that town. So he says, I'm making the following statement. If the Talmud Chacham is already in town A, then this is my Erev Tuchumim for town A. If the Talmud Chacham is in fact in town B, then I want this to be my Erev Tuchumim for town B. This isn't a Breira question. This is a lack of knowledge question. He just doesn't know which town he's in. So he's saying, the facts are known. I just don't know them. This Talmud Chacham is in one of the two towns. Whichever town he's in, before Shabbos starts, I want that town to be my Erev Tuchumim. And therefore, this is not a Breira question, and that's why the second case is perfectly good. But we clearly see from the first case that it's not acceptable that you'll make the decision on Shabbos morning, depending on what you decide to do. I want to hear the shir from this Rav in town A, or this Rav in town B. I'll see what my friends are going to, I'll see other things. So that's a retroactive determination, and that's not good, according to Rabbi Yehuda. This brisa that Ayo brought is clearly the proof that Rav Yehuda doesn't hold from Breira. Now, Hashto Damrino and Rav Yehuda ain't Breira. Now that we've shown that Rav Yehuda doesn't hold from Breira, Hoksiva Islay, as I pointed out from the beginning of the share, as we learned in yesterday's share, it clearly isn't a problem that he doesn't allow you to write things down. In the shofros, he allows you to write down, this is the shofar for the olos that are going to be from a tor, and these are the shofar that is going to be for the olos that are from a ben yonah, and that was perfectly acceptable. So the reason that he didn't write down the third one for a combination where a person has to bring an ola and a chatas was because he doesn't hold from Breira. And in case the person were to die, so then all the funds in there would be ruined because of the lack of holding from Breira. So that explains why Rabbi Yehuda did not allow for the third shofar. But now that we see that he clearly holds that ksiva works, he does allow you to say, right on this is for the gozle ola, this is for the ben yonah birds, and this one is for the kenan, this is for the tor birds. So clearly he allows writing, hok siva isle. So now we finally ask the question that we began in yesterday's shir, yom kippurim nami, so on Yom Kippur as well, na'ovid trey, let him have two stands, v'nechtov alayu. You're telling me that Rav Yehuda is concerned that he's going to get mixed up between the blood of the par and the blood of the Sar Lashem, so therefore, never put them both down, because if you have them both down, it's going to lead to a problem. He'll forget which one is which, because we don't allow you to write it out, but we see that Rav Yehuda does allow you to write it out. So let him agree with the Tanakhama that there should be two stands. On one stand you write, this is the stand for the par, and on the other stand you write, this is the stand for the Sar Lashem, and therefore have two stands, and this way the Kohen Gadol can put down the blood that he's working on, put it down with his right hand, and then pick the other one up with his right hand, and everything should be fine and dandy. So how come he didn't allow that in our Mishnah? Now we've gotten to this point that he allows kesiva, so why didn't he allow kesiva in the Beis HaMikdash to have a stand clearly demarcated with writing to be the stand for the power of the Kohen Gadol, and the other stand to be the stand for the Sar Lashem? So Gemara says, the reason why we didn't allow this is Mishum Chulsho de Kohen Gadol. Lava Daite, Rabbi Yehuda was concerned that all the work that the Kohen Gadol is doing, remember, he was probably an older man, he is exhausted, he's doing every single activity on Yom Kippur himself, and he's going to get bamboozled. And if you don't have one stand, he's going to forget which one is which, even though it's written down, because of the chush of the Kohen Gadol, he's going to make a mistake. And I'll show you that this is right, Gemara says, D'ilote mohachi, if in fact you don't say that he's worried about the Kohen Gadol making a mistake if there's two stands, then we should be able to say below Kesiva Nami. Even if you're not going to allow Kesiva, there should be an easy way to tell the difference between the blood of the par and the blood of the Sarel Hashem for several reasons. Number one, Hainofish Vaizuter. You're supposed to go and collect all the blood, as we'll see in a second. So all the blood from the par is going to be a lot more blood than all the blood from the sire. A par is a much bigger animal than a sire. A cow is a bigger animal than a goat. So therefore, Hainofish Vaizuter. So how could he possibly make a mistake between the two? Just look and see how much you have in there. The container that has more blood, that's the par. The container that has less blood, that's the sire. You're going to tell me, maybe he didn't take all the blood. He takes an ounce of each of them. So therefore, he has an ounce of the par and an ounce of the sar. So that's why he can't tell the difference between them? No, that's not true. Lama Rabbi Yehuda, this is not our Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, but this Shita does apply to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. The Amora, Omar Rav Yehuda, tells us, HaShochet, we had this previously in the Masechta as well, and we have it here again now. The one who shachs, Sar Shia Kabbalist, called Domo Shopar. He can't just take a little bit of blood and say, oh, I got enough to do all the Zrikas and all the applications, so that's it. No, he has to go collect all the Dam of the Par, all the lifeblood that comes out. How's this known? Based upon a Pasuk, Shinema. We had this Pasuk many times. The Ace called Dam HaMapar, Yishpoch, Yisod. Now, the Gears said, we have some Mizbech, but it should be Mizbach HaOlah. So this Pasuk tells us clearly, called Dam. You have to get all the blood of the Par. So therefore, one container is going to have a liter of blood. The other container is going to have 10 ounces. So therefore, the par container is going to have much more blood than the sar container. Are you going to tell me maybe he did collect all of it, but then he's a klutz and some of it spilled out? Okay, so great. He started off with a liter of blood, and the other one had 10 ounces of blood, but he's a klutz and he spilled it out. So now he has 10 ounces of blood in the par container and 10 ounces of blood in the sar container. So maybe that's why he can't tell the difference between them. No. You can tell the difference between cow blood and goat blood. The cow blood is much deeper red. It's sumach. We had this previously when we discussed the gold, and we said the gold was like the color of par blood. So therefore, the red gold was like the color of red par blood, which is a deeper red. And the goat blood is chiver. It's a whiter shade, a lighter shade of red. Of course, blood is red, but it's a lighter shade of red. So therefore, you can tell the difference just by looking at the blood. So therefore, it must be that because of Chulsh of the Kohen Gadol, Ela Mishum Chulsh of the Kohen Gadol, Lava Daite, he's clearly not going to have the wherewithal, the wits about him to necessarily be able to distinguish. So therefore, Rebbe Yehuda says we better put in a stopgap measure over here. If you have two cons, he'll make a mistake. If there's only one con, well, he knows what he's holding in his hand. He just did the blood applications of the par. So the other con must be the sar, and he won't get mixed up because he's holding the par in his hand and he says, I have to put down the par and take the sar. So therefore, he won't make a mistake. So, Hochanami, Mishum Chusha, the Kohen Gadol, Lava Daite. Because clearly, the Kohen Gadol is going to be so involved and so busy with all of the things that he's doing and so tired, so we don't want to take any chances with a mistake. The Tanakama obviously is not concerned about this. He says, no, if we clearly demark it and say that this stand is for the power of the Kohen Gadol, this stand is for the Sar Lashem, he won't make a mistake. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I'm still concerned because of Chulsh of the Kohen Gadol, that he will make a mistake. That's the machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, how the Noachis Kamei the Rabba, that once was one of the Talmidim that went to be the Chazan on Yom Kippur in front of Rabba. Rabba lived well after the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they had the same davening that we do. So the Chazan who was davening for Rabba was going through the Avodah of Yom Kippur in the Musaf Shemon Esrei of Yom Kippur. And Omar, and this Chazan said, Yotza, when the Kohen Gadol went out of Lifnai V'Lifnim, V'Nicho Al Kan Sheini Shebehechol, and he put the blood down on the second stand. He holds like the Tanakama. That was the girsa of his davening, that we should follow the opinion of the Tanakama, that the two stands. But then he said afterwards, Notal Dam HaPor, he would take the Dam HaPor, implying that he took it from the one stand, V'niach Dam HaSar, and only afterwards could he put down the Dam of the Sar. Because if there were two stands, he first would have put down the blood, V'niach Dam HaSar, and only afterwards, Notal Dam HaPor. So this person who was the Chazan in front of Rava tried to have the best of both worlds. He tried to follow the girsa of the Tanakhama that there were two stands, but he also followed the girsa of Rabbi Yehuda that there was one stand. So Rabbi tells him, Amalei, Rabbi says, you got to pick one of the two. Chado ki Rabbanon, v'chado ki Rabbi Yehuda. What you're doing is you're trying to get both of these opinions in your davening, but that can't be. You have to pick one. Pick one of the opinions that there are either two stands and then say the davening that way, or pick the opinion that there's one stand and say the davening that way. And he says, therefore, Eimah, hiniach dam hasoyer, put down the dam hasar, because we follow the opinion of the Chachamim, majority rules, so therefore you follow the opinion of the Chachamim in the davening, he say, he put down the dam of the soyer on the second stand, and then he can go take with his right hand, v'notal dam apart from the first stand, and therefore keep your davening consistent, follow one opinion, follow the opinion of the Chachamim. That concludes this beautiful sugya, and we now go and quote the Mishnah again. And the Mishnah tells us, "V'hizah mimenu ala paroches kineged aron mibachutz." Now, at this point in the Mishnah, we've done the one up, seven down of the pyre inside lifnai v'lifnim. We then came out, shechted the soil Hashem. We put the blood down on the kan of the pyre of the Kohen Gadol. He goes back inside the Lufnai V'Lufnim and does the Sorol Hashem one up, seven down. And then he comes out and he puts down the Kan on the second stand like the Chachamim, or he takes the Par in his right hand and then puts down the Sorol Hashem container with his other hand. He puts that down on the one stand according to Yehuda, and now he's up to doing the Hazos towards the Lufnai V'Lufnim, but he's standing in the Hechol facing the Parochas. And now the Gemara goes through this application. Tana Rabban. The Brisa states as follows. The Pasuk tells us, V'chein yaaseh li'ohel mo'ed. This Pasuk tells us that he has to go and do the avoda in the ohel mo'ed, meaning in the hechel, towards the proches, similar to what he did lifnai v'lifnim. And that's what the Gemara dashes in this Brisa. Ma Talmud Lomer, why does it have to tell us this? Kishem shemazeh lifnai v'lifnim, kach mazeh behechel. To teach us that just like he had to do one up and seven down, lifnai v'lifnim, for the par and for the Sorel Hashem, he has to repeat the same things, one up and seven down, towards the paroches that separates the hechel from the Kodesh Kodashim. He faces west in that orientation towards the paroches while he's standing in the hechel, and he does the one up and seven down, each for the respectively first the par and then the Sorel Hashem. So the Gemara says, Malif Nai Vilifnim Achas the Malav Sheva Lamata Bidamapor. So this comes to teach us that just like Lifnai Vilifnim for the par, he did one up and seven down, so too, Kach Mazem Echel. For the par, he first does one up and seven down, and then, just like Ukshem Shalifnai Vilifnim Achas the Malav Sheva Lamata Bidamasoir, just like he had to do the one up and seven down for the Dam of the Soir Lashem inside the Lifnai Vilifnim, now he does the same thing. Kach mazeh beechol. He does one up and seven down for the Sorel Hashem. So we have, again, the repetition of the exact same type of applications that were done lifnai v'lifnim. We do them now in the hechol towards the lifnai v'lifnim, towards the parochas. And we learn this out from Lubchein Yasel Yomoed. It says you should do the same thing in the Yomoed that you did lifnai v'lifnim. The pasuk concludes with the words, Hashochein itom b'soch tumasom, which basically implies that even when we're Tomei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Afilu b'shah shem t'meim, shechina imam. Even when we are Tomei Nebuch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is always with the Jewish people. He doesn't discard us because we're Tomei. And now we have a Maisa Shoya that proves this point. Amar lei ha'utztuki l'Rabbi Chanina. One of the tztukim, again the tztukim with Talmidim of Tzadok, and the Baisusim with the Talmidim of Baisus. Tzadok and Baisus were great Tanoim, but unfortunately they had Talmidim that didn't follow the path after them, and they literally darshened many psukim in the Torah, and they were unfortunately apikarsim, and they did terrible things. So this tzduki said to Rabbi Chanina, and we turn to Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, Hashta bari tmeim atun. You are certainly all vaday tmeim right now. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with you. As the pasuk says in Eicha, Nebuch, it says, Dechsev, tumasa bishuleha, that your Tumah is all over your hem. So, Kli Yisrael is Tamei, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejects you. That's what the Tztuki said to Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina tells him, you don't know what you're talking about, obviously. Amalei, Tachazi, Maik Sivbo. The pasuk that we just had regarding the Yom Kippur davening, when they learned out that you have to do the same applications that you did lifnai v'lifnim in the Olam Moed, to the end of that pasuk said, Hashochein Itam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells with us, Besoch tumasam, even when we're tamei, and that teaches us no. Afilu b'zman shem tamei, even if Klai Yisrael Nebuch has done sins and we're tamei and we're going into galus, shchina shruya b'neim, even under these difficult circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is always with us. The Shechina Kaviyachol goes into Galus with us. When we're in Galus, the Shechina is even with us in Galus. Even though we're Tami, even though we've done sins, even though we have not been the way we should be, and we're not deserving of having the Shechina with us, this pasuk always is a constant reminder to us, Ashochin itam betoch sumasam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, even in these difficult times that we lived in with COVID, even these difficult times that we're living in with bombs coming down all over Eretz Yisrael from the Rishayim. So nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us. What a wonderful way to conclude today's shir.